Thanks for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. Our hope is that it helps you discover completeness in Jesus. Now for this week's teaching.
Ladies and gentlemen, Leah McAllister. So most of you know, and some of you even sing, that I, Drake Holderman, should have been a cowboy. First time I showed this picture was when you guys were in like 7th and 8th grade. There I am right there. Steely blue eyes. And, you know, I've tried different looks over the years, different attire, apparel, might you say, even different hairstyles. A couple of years ago, Tyler and I lost a bet that we made with you. We had to bleach our hair blonde. Here's your one. Yeah, look at those guys. Yeah. I don't know. I think we might have won that because we both look good. But, and we're like kind of matching for Easter, which, by the way, is this Sunday here at Christ Church of Ornogo at 8, 9:15, and 10:45 if you'd like to come with your friends or your family. And you may not know this about me. I lost a bet right there with Tyler. But even before that, I had voluntarily bleached my hair back in high school, which caused the one and only Andrea Elizabeth Holderman to fall in love with me. Right, Andrea? And she's blushing. She's so blushing right now. I've also tried just to become other people, even. Like, Halloween is a great time, right, where you get to dress up as somebody different. One of my childhood heroes, Squints Palidorus, right next to Wendy Peppercorn. Once again, Andrea was falling in love with me. And then even this Christmas at our annual Christmas parade there on Web City Main Street, I dressed up as Santa Claus and my buddy Ryan Wickenkamp's in the front seat. And Chad Ragsdale got this picture of me, titled me Shady Claus in the moment. And little did I know, there's going to be about 100 kids run up to me on Main Street that night and tell me what they wanted for Christmas. And their parents were not happy when I told the kids that that's a lame request and they need to think harder. But anyways, I'm just kidding. I did not do that to many of them. But I have tried just sometimes, you know, to become another person, changed my attire. And I also like food, you know? Anybody here like food? Okay, anybody big food? You guys know I like food. A couple of years ago, I did the Blazin' Wing Challenge with Peyton was there on stage with me and a couple of the, Isaac was there doing it. And it was one of the worst experiences of my life. And if my co-D group leader, Dave, was here tonight, I would be telling the story about when, I'll tell it anyways, when I started to throw up and Dave was going to come. I don't know what he was going to do. Oh, Stacy's here. Yeah. Dave went backstage with me there at Camp Sciokamo. I started throwing up into this Halloween pumpkin bucket. And then behind me, I hear Dave going, doing that, throwing up backstage. You know, I've expressed my love for the Waffle House. And I know you guys love food, too, because every time I ask, who likes Chick-fil-A? You guys like scream like Oprah's giving away like a lifetime supply of chicken nuggies and stuff like that. So I know you guys like food as well. Let's do a little, I just want to know. I got three options that are going to pop up here on the screen. Chick-fil-A, taquitos, and a little steak and shrimp surf and turf. Now, let's go. Do you like Chick-fil-A, taquitos like we had tonight, or surf and turf on any given day? What would you like to have? Yell it out. Taquitos? Heather, they're saying taquitos. Okay, what about this? Because we talked about food, but before that we talked about clothing. What about shoe options? I got a few shoe options. You got the Nike Air Maxes, you got the dad shoes, and you got the Croc Rock. You know what I'm saying? So, would you rather have the Nikes, the New Balances, or the Crocs? Say it out loud. What do you got? Looky there. Looky there. I was hoping some other dad, when Willie was born, would have gotten me a pair of New Balances, like initiation present. Anyways, they didn't, but there's still time because we're having another baby, and you can get me some New Balances. Hey, if you don't hear anything else tonight, I want you to hear this. You must look to God to move toward God. I know that there's some people in this room tonight, probably most of us, who want to get closer to God. If I can repeat what I just said, you must look to God to move closer toward God. If you're new with us over the past several weeks, going all the way back to January, we've been going through a sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. Basically, 2,000 years ago, all these people went to their own little CIY move, like we're going to go to in Cleveland, Tennessee. Wouldn't it be crazy if you got to move and you found out one of the speakers was going to be Jesus of Nazareth? Because that's pretty much what happened when everybody went up to this mountain. And Jesus of Nazareth was there, and he began to teach. And we've been going through the sermon that Jesus preached and breaking it down week by week, and we're halfway, or more than halfway, really, through the sermon. And we get to this section tonight, and Jesus begins, not really begins, but continues, rather, to teach. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They were outside on a mountain. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not much more valuable? Are you not much more valuable than they?" Jesus is speaking, and it's almost like he takes the whole crowd, probably thousands of people there, and he moves their chin up to look up and says, "Notice the treetops and the skies. Do you see all the birds there?" He was very good at preaching and had these great illustrations, and that's exactly what he's doing in this moment. He calls their attention to look beyond himself. Because I don't know if you've ever walked into a room just like this and just were so concerned about yourself. You couldn't get off of your own issues and the own drama going into your life. And there are probably people just like you on the mountainside that day, and Jesus is trying to get their attention off of themselves, and he says, "Look up and just notice the birds, the simple creatures of the air." Now, I've been in two clubs when I was in school growing up. In eighth grade, Mrs. Van, one of our science teachers, had a bird watching club. I joined. Okay? It's pretty cool. Some people do chess club. I do bird club. And I went to bird club. I got a pair of binoculars. I would go outside and look for birds. And I would have to, like, take notes on the different birds. And that's about all I did. So I was also a junior naturalist at this nature center. I was 9 years old. I became a tour guide for nature. Put that on your resume, all right? And part of my job was to take care of the birds that they had there. And I don't want to be cruel, but all the birds that they had there were like predatory birds, like hawks and eagles and stuff, which was really cool as a 9-year-old to be like, "I know a bald eagle. His name is Tim." And so I would get to feed the eagles and the hawks. It was gross. They made me do it because I was 9. But I had to take a bucket full of dead rats, and I would throw them up in the air in this giant open cage, like in the outside, and the hawks would go, "Wah!" and get the rat. So birds are cool. I like birds, right? I brought a few pictures of birds because I love birds so much. Oh, that's an eagle. That's Tim. Just kidding. Tim only had one wing. So this is a cute little birdie, right? Look at him. So content. Looks like Caden Ray. And then I brought another bird. Yeah, look at that guy. That's the coolest thing ever. Coolest thing. Now, these probably weren't the types of birds that were around on the mountain that day when Jesus was preaching, but I want to repeat what he said. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they?" I said they're a simple creature, and they are. Like, all of their diet consists of is like worms and insects and nuts and berries, but God provides even for the birds. That's what Jesus is saying. Now think about it, because we can look past that sermon, the events that were happening that day, and we can see how much God loves us, because that same preacher on the mountain would be the one that God would give for us as a sacrifice, where he died on the cross to provide us eternal life with him. Yes, God cares for the birds of the air, but he cares so much more for you. So much so that his son, that preacher on the mountain, died in your place to forgive you of your sins. So maybe like the people on the mountain, you're here tonight and you're looking at yourself saying, "I don't really know, like, is this for me?" Yes, it's for you, because there is a God who loves you so much, and he wants you to take notice of him. And he continues his sermon, Jesus does, and says this, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor, work, or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon," and if you're unfamiliar with who Solomon is, he was a king of God's people back in the Old Testament, and Solomon is considered to be the richest and wisest man to have ever lived. So consider Solomon, not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these flowers. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you?" It's almost like Jesus takes those heads of the people there in the crowd and that are looking up at the treetops in the skies to see the birds, and he casts their gaze across the field. to see all the wildflowers that are dressing the grass. I brought some pictures of flowers to show you as well. And I just want to cycle through them because every time you see a field full of flowers like this one or the next one, doesn't it just kind of take your breath away? It's just peaceful. You can tell in these moments that there's not turmoil, there's not chaos, there's just an air of peace because these flowers are not worried. They're not concerned if they're going to continue to grow because God cares even for the birds and even for the flowers of the field. And let me repeat it again, He cares for you. He cares for you. I want to say it one more time so you do not forget it. If you want to move toward God, you have to look toward God. Jesus is talking to a group of people who most of them probably had a hard time having their basic needs met. He's already mentioned two of them, food and clothing. Now, if I know this room, like I think I know this room, there are a few who do struggle sometimes with having food and having stuff to wear, but most of us, our concern is not so much will we have food to eat, but what kind of food do we want to eat? It's not so much are we concerned if we'll have clothes to wear, but what kind of clothes do we want to wear? Our concern is not a concern of need, but rather a concern of preference. So I have to say that when Jesus is speaking to this crowd, he is speaking in a way that they literally have to trust God to provide meals. This is not the only time that Jesus has gathered thousands or hundreds of people to a mountainside or to a field to preach. Two other times in scripture, there were more than 5,000 or more than 4,000 people, and there was like little food, and they needed to eat. And Jesus provided it. And God will provide the needs that we have. So if this application may be a little different for our crowd than it was for the first crowd who heard it, let me talk to us about a few things when it comes to our concern or choice of preference. And Jesus was speaking to them, but he's also speaking to us. And he says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And the answer for most of us is, yeah, he has clothed us. And like we have options for clothes. Anybody in here have more than one pair of shoes? Anybody in here have those dad shoes? Dave Lortz would have been. You know, he's not here tonight. And it's not necessarily bad to have options, right? Like, it's not necessarily bad that we can say, oh, do I like Chick-fil-A or Surf and Turf or taquitos better? It's not necessarily bad, but there are moments in life where it can become sinful. So what are those moments? What are those occurrences? And something like this can become sinful in our lives when we take our preferences and try to create a life for ourselves when we think we can create a life better than the one that God could create for us. Like when our adoration for ourselves is greater than our adoration for God. This is called pride. Or when we try to build a life that looks better and seems better to all kinds of people rather than just trusting the life that God can provide for us. This is called vanity. And they're sinful. And Jesus is not necessarily addressing this, but it's something that we need to address tonight because one of the biggest sins that I think our culture struggles with is the sin of becoming God, our own provider. Now, this is not to say that we don't work. Like the birds still have to go find the worms and eat the insects, and the flowers still have to do their like photosynthesis thing to grow. I think that's science. To be honest, I should have studied it before I said it out loud in front of a bunch of people. But this is, thank you. Somebody's really good at science back there. But this is kind of what, like I was going to the store for the past 27 years of my life, but rather since February. Big event that happens in February is the Super Bowl. And a lot of people eat chicken wings in the Super Bowl. Now, I love chicken wings. And there's only one store in this area that sells the kind of wings that I like to eat. And ever since the Super Bowl, they've been sold out. But I go back almost every single week with Willie on Fridays. And we go look for chicken wings. And the guy there knows me by name now. And I always ask him, I said, sir, do you guys have any chicken wings? And he always says, no, I think there might be a shipment coming in soon, though. I'm like, well, you said that last week. So I don't say that, actually. I'm not rude to them. I just say, thank you, sir. And now, think of this in a situation with me. This is not a lie. I go back there like every single week. And it would be ridiculous of me, right? So when he says there should be a shipment coming in soon, and I know there hasn't really been shipments coming in because I go there every single week. Would it be ridiculous of me to set up a lawn chair holding my 10-month-old baby and just sit there for the chicken wings that I want when there's a whole store full of all kinds of, not just chicken products, but other kinds of food products, and some people even eat Tide Pods, so there's those too. Not necessarily you, Arne. I was pointing very angrily at Arne and Kimberly, but it would be ridiculous of me, right, to just sit there and say, God's going to get me chicken wings. Rather, Walmart's going to get me, oh, I said their name, chicken wings. It's a neighborhood market on Stone's Corner. But they'll get some wings in here before long. Anyways, enough about chicken wings. It would be ridiculous of me to sit there and just wait on something when God has provided all kinds of things for us. This is kind of what happens in our life. I know it's a silly illustration about a grocery store, but some of us just sit there thinking we know what we know what we need, when it's really we know what we want. And God has something in store for us that is so much greater than what we think we really need. We come to these moments in our life where we see the way other people live, and we see the way that other people get to behave, and we see the way other people act, and it's like, man, maybe that's the life I should be living. This is a big moment in this sermon, because all the way before this, Jesus has been talking about how we should live. And now here we are confronted with this moment. Are we going to trust how God says we should live, or are we going to start making our own way to live? Now, when I was in high school, there was this moment when I was with a friend of mine on the baseball team. And it was a weird moment because I had just really started growing in my faith. And this guy was not a Christian at all. He's still not a Christian. I actually talked to him a couple of weeks ago. And we were both in trouble because we had missed a tournament for baseball. His name is Cole. My name is Drake. And we were running poles, which if you know what that means is we're running the outside wall of the outfield and just back and forth like for an hour. And he was running because he was in trouble. I was running because I was in trouble. The reason I got in trouble is because I went on a mission trip with my youth group during the break. It was spring break at the time. The reason Cole was running is because he got drunk and slept through the first game of our tournament that our team was playing. And so we were both in this moment of discipline, if you will. And I was running because I skipped on the team to go to the mission trip, even though I went to the coach's house and told him, it's no big deal, whatever. I just think it was a little ridiculous. And Cole was running because he skipped a game because he got drunk. And we're sitting there, we're running these poles together and just talking about the reasons why we were in trouble with the team and with the coach. And I remember running there, talking with him. And he was talking to me about how he thought it was silly that I would go on a mission trip. I was like, okay, well, you got drunk and missed a game. And I was just thinking about how when I was in eighth grade, we were seniors at this time. Eighth grade, I thought Cole Castile was one of the coolest kids that I had ever met. Same guy. It was in eighth grade that he got drunk for the first time at school in the bathroom. And I thought, that guy is cool. And there were moments in my life when I wasn't following Jesus that I wanted to be like Cole. And as a senior, when I had started taking my faith seriously, I came to this moment when we were running together down the track that I realized I don't want to be like Cole. Because time and time again throughout his high school career, Cole had made decisions that ended poorly, not just for like a baseball team, but for his life, really. Most of Cole's friends either dropped out or did drugs all throughout high school. One of Cole's friends even committed suicide when he was in high school with us. And the pattern of Cole's life, when I look at what I could have been and instead had some good friends who taught me to choose Jesus, I'm so grateful for them. Because what they did for me is what Jesus is doing for this crowd, and hopefully what's happening for you tonight is to tell you this. You may see the way people live and think it's good and cool and all right, but it is not.
God knows the best way for you to live, and he wants you to live that way.
Jesus continues to speak. He says, do not worry. Do not worry is repeated twice here, or really three times in this part of the sermon. And Jesus is speaking, he says, do not worry. And some of the older people in the room will get this. And most of you who are younger will probably recognize it. But when I hear Jesus say, do not worry, the thing that instantly comes to my mind is the Bobby McFerrin song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. They're going to play a little bit for you, just so you recognize this song. Stacey, you heard this song? Come on. Yeah, maybe. You ever heard this song? Don't worry, be happy. Now, most of us are like, when Jesus says, don't worry, it gets me in this vibe. You can even hear the melody right now. It's like, oh, this is kind of chill. Kind of makes me want to grab a lawn chair, go to the beach, sip on an ice cold drink, and just sit there with my toes in the sand and listen to the waves crash and the wind blow. And this is just like a cool melody, right? You're kind of just feeling good. I see people swaying. And some people, when they hear this teaching of Jesus about don't worry, this like tune pops into their head. They're like, I'm just going to sit down and be passive about life, and what comes, comes. And we can turn the music off now. I know this is good. Like, what's true is this. Yeah, like, what comes may come. And when it comes, we know that nothing can separate us from the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. That is true. But Jesus' teaching here is not like a passive, just sit there and don't worry. No, what Jesus is saying is to us is more active. And this is the command that he gives to the people there in the field within that, there on the mountain. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The command not to worry is a passive sit down and let life come at you. It's a get up and do your work to seek after God, his kingdom, and his righteousness. Don't worry is not a sit there and let it happen. Don't worry is a get up and trust God to do what God said he was going to do. And how you trust God to let God do what he was going to do is you get after God and you start seeking after God. At the beginning of the sermon, I said there's probably people, probably most of us in this room who have a desire to get close to God. And I said, if you look to God, you will move toward God. This is true. If you seek after God and his kingdom, you will get to know God more and know God deeper. First, because he has gone after you. He has made a way for you to come to him through his son, Jesus. And his promise to you is if you grow close to him, he will grow close to you as well. And so this is not for Christians a call to just sit there and let life happen and maybe you'll know God more. The call here is to seek after God more and more and more and more. And a lot of you are doing it. It makes me really proud. One of my favorite moments of every week is on Sundays at 8:15 where the group, I don't know if you guys remember this, at the beginning of the semester, we challenged people to memorize either parts or the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. And there are some of you who are still trying to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. This Sunday at 8:15, Peyton and I got to sit down and listen to Evan and Logan and Ryan and Jessica and Bethany quote the sermon, or chapter 5 and chapter 6 of the Sermon on the Mount, which was awesome. It's 82 verses so far, 1,800 words, 7,600 red letters of Jesus. And they're doing this to try to get it in their mind so that they can grow closer to God, seek after him with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Others of you who serve here at Christ Church, maybe it's the 18 instrumentalists and singers who are students who are coming up here to the band. Seek after God by leading people in worship. Some of you serve in kids club as teachers and even early childhood with Willie Cruz and all the other babies to help other people seek after God. There's a crew of you who wake up on Sunday mornings once a month before the good Lord himself does to go to Water Gardens and serve other people and to make meals and even participate in the worship service at Water Gardens. And I know, even though I don't see it all the time, there are people who have private times of daily study and prayer and Bible readings. And I know most of you read the Bibles because I'm friends with you on the Bible app. Remember, I don't have TalkTick or Instant Pot, but I do have the Bible app, right? And I, Instant Pot's a new one. I thought you guys were like that. I've been thinking about these. And so I see you guys like underlining and highlighting stuff on the Bible app all the time. And so I know there's groups of people who are in here who are trying to seek after God. And this is true. God is seeking after you as well.
So my encouragement to you is to seek after God, knowing that he will seek after you as well. But you have to do this thing, the thing Jesus started his sermon off with, when he cast their gaze to the trees in the skies to see the birds and down to see the flowers of the field. You have to stop looking at yourself. And the problem that a lot of us have right now is that we do seek after ourselves. Like most of us just look in this mirror instead of looking at God. Most of us look in this mirror for one of two reasons. Number one, you look in this mirror because you want to see how good you look. You want to see the life that you've provided for yourself. You want to see all the good things that you've accomplished. You want to see how you've done it better than God could have done it for you. Another reason that a lot of us look in this mirror is to be reminded that we're not doing so well. Some of us, most of us who have come to acknowledge the saving grace of Jesus, have seen this mirror in the destruction that we have caused in our own lives. And we thought to ourselves that there has to be a better way. And God has provided that way. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to drop the mirror tonight and stop looking in the mirror and look past the mirror to find God. Because he is trying to reveal himself to you. There's a paraphrase of this part of the sermon that I would love to read to you tonight. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God they are. And you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone by fussing in front of the mirror ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think that it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at those wild flowers. They never primp or shop, but have you ever seen the color and design? There's nothing quite like it. The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his very best for you? What I'm trying to say here is to get you to relax and not so be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you both know God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met in him. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever comes up and at whatever time it comes up. Some of you, even though you may be doing godly activities, need to look past this mirror from the fashions of the world to the way in which you want to live your life and steep your life in God reality, the dreams that he has for you. Some of you can do this for the first time. Maybe tonight you've never given yourself to Jesus and make him the Lord of your life and submit yourself to him in baptism. If you've never done that and you want to follow Jesus, I would love for you to talk to your leader during the small group time. Others of you who have decided to follow Jesus before and have picked this mirror back up and have tried to recreate a life for yourself, even though God has given you life in Christ Jesus. My challenge for you tonight is to drop the mirror and confess to your group what you've been trying to do, trying to create for yourself. And acknowledge once more that God has planned a life for you greater than you can ever dream up yourself. Let's do that tonight. Let's look at God and move toward God. Let me pray for us. Father, I'm grateful for this evening, for the worship that we get to partake in that cast our eyes to heaven and our thoughts to heaven. Father, I ask that tonight, maybe for the first time, some of them in this room, our friends would consider to give their life to you and ask the leader of their group what that means and to be baptized and Father, I also ask tonight for the students who have been following Jesus for a while that you would have them confess, prompt them to confess the sin in their life that they're dealing with, the sin of pride, trying to do it better, or the sin of vanity, trying to look better. Father, I ask that you would do that tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for checking out this podcast from Christ Church of Ornogo. We hope that this teaching is helping you discover completeness in Jesus and encourages you to help others do the same. If you're interested in learning more about Christ Church, visit us online at cco.church.